What's up? I'm Amanda Costco, and you're listening to the Electric Runway Podcast, a podcast exploring the intersection of fashion and technology. We're recording this intro from Shop Talk this week in Las Vegas, Nevada, where we're here exploring the future of retail tech and next-gen commerce. We'll be putting up some stories on electricrunway.com, sharing thoughts on Shop Talk, specifically as it relates to some of the stuff you're used to hearing about on this program, like wearables and augmented reality. Today on the show, we have quite the episode for you. It's a long one, but for good reason. Late last week, I had the pleasure of interviewing Randy Rubin, founder of Krypton, a company that has been pioneering smart fabrics for almost 30 years. Krypton has made a name for itself in the upholstery world by developing high-performance fabrics for furniture that are both stylish and stain-resistant. Now, through the recent acquisition of Nanotex, the company is turning its attention towards apparel. In today's world, customers expect more from their clothing. The same outfit needs to carry us on our commute to work, through a busy business day, and then seamlessly transition into our social lives at night. Randy says it's time our fabrics got an upgrade. She says the rise of fitness clothes and athleisure have exposed consumers to the possibilities of high-performance fabrics, and there's no going back. Through their newly acquired company, Nanotex, she's bringing smart fabrics to the masses with strategic partnerships with big-name retailers like Macy's and Banana Republic. It's an exciting episode, and it starts right now. So, Randy, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm very excited about this.
Yeah, I'm very excited to talk to you, not only from a fashion technology perspective, but also as a female entrepreneur. It's great to have you on. So for people who don't know, tell us about Nanotex.
Well, Nanotex is a company that actually what we specialize in is making technology that transforms textiles. So we are a company that creates chemical formulations and various techniques that are available and that we invent, mostly in the United States in our Kings Mountain facility, and we also have a facility in Hong Kong with research people. But we find ways to make textiles perform in a way that they didn't before they were introduced to Nanotex. So we make things like fabrics that are very, very difficult to stain. We make fabrics water repellent. We make fabrics that won't wrinkle anymore. We make fabrics that keep sweat away from your body and wick them to the outside of the apparel. It's actually a company that was formed in 1998 and had an amazing, amazing start when it first began, and it was adopted in many places, mostly in apparel, and had a really interesting beginning because it was actually sold, it ended up being sold to investment banking people. And we watched this company for a long time, and it got off to a huge start. And then people really stopped paying attention to it, and budgets kept getting cut, and they really, really didn't do what they could to really maximize the brand and the technology. And when we acquired it in 2014, we put new life into the fabric and some passion into the technology and the business. And it could be a textbook story of what happens when you acquire something that has potential and you look at it as being able to be so much greater than it could be. You invest in it, you put passionate people behind it, and you make it into something that's a true success story, which Nanotex is turning out to be. It's been a real adventure. It was so difficult. We've never acquired a company before. This was the first acquisition in our company. Our company has always specialized in the world of textiles, but we've specialized in upholstery textiles with a company called Krypton Fabrics. So Nanotex was a brand extension that got us into stain repellency and fabric performance in a whole new area, and it was a natural extension, but boy, was it ever a learning curve, because the fashion industry is a very, very difficult market to get into.
Right.
And then once you're in, it's just fascinating all the things you can do.
Yeah, it is very different than upholstery. Now, so I want to make sure that I understand the beginnings of it. You're the founder of Krypton, and you acquired Nanotex, but as I understand it, you started that company in your basement.
In 1993, we began a company called Krypton Super Fabric. My husband and I 1993, we met and married in 3 months. And in 1993, Craig, who was in the fabric business, had this idea of making a fabric that would actually perform like a vinyl. He wanted to invent something that was stain resistant, microbial resistant, that would be a barrier to any liquid going through it. And we found chemists and different people that could help us create this amazing fabric. My background was in marketing. So the combination between a person like Craig, who's the mad scientist, though he's not a scientist, what he does is he comes up with all these amazing ideas, and then once you formulate the question, it's much easier to get an answer. So he formulated a question: how do we develop an upholstery fabric that can do all these amazing things? And we found the solution, and then we created the brand Krypton, and that was what happened in 1993, and today we hold 19 global patents. We are a global company, very successful, based in Bloomfield Hills, Michigan, and we make upholstery fabric primarily for the commercial world, but now we have a huge launch into the consumer market. In fact, you can find us with Krypton Home Fabric in Pottery Barn and some of the larger chains across the country. So Krypton is the primary business that we began, and then in 2014, we acquired Nanotex.
So smart fabrics is really a hot trend right now. It's a hot word, but this is something that you've actually been in for, I think you said 20 years.
We have been in the area of smart fabric for 24 years, and we began in the world of upholstery, because in the world of upholstery, there was really nothing that people could do to have decorative fabric and have it protected. So it was like this brainstorm of being able to take upholstery that used to only be able to be vinyl and make this fabric work in a way that vinyl worked. And now we could have decorative fabric in places that never could exist before. So Krypton caught on very, very quickly because we invented a new category of fabric. And today in design libraries, we actually are a section of a library that would be called Krypton Upholstery. It's its own category. So our life for the last 24 years has been perfecting Krypton, developing new stain technologies, working with chemists from all over the world, because we're one of the biggest users of different chemistries. And because our company, Krypton, is so large right now, all the companies that have these new innovative ideas come to us because they know we're very large users of product. And they also know that we're a company that prides ourselves on trying new things and not being afraid to fail. So we are constantly looking for new and exciting things. And so Nanotex builds the mold of our company perfectly. I mean, it couldn't be a more perfect fit because our life is stains, you know? And now what we're doing is we're working with apparel. And in working with the apparel, a lot of the people who are in the apparel world actually have heard of Krypton. They actually have heard about all of the things that we've done for the last 24 years. And we have teams of people that are really ready, willing, and able to explore what we could do within the apparel sector.
Yeah, it's a really exciting time for apparel. I want to go back to this idea that you were talking about with Craig being the sort of mad scientist. Let people understand, what is nanotechnology-based textile enhancements? And perhaps if you could give us like a concrete example.
So what we do is we work with companies. Let's say Banana Republic has this idea that they want to make wool pants, but they want them to be stain resistant. What we do is a Banana Republic would come to us. They tell us, this is the wool that we want to use. This is the fabric that we want to work with, and we want to make it stain repellent. We would have our scientists be working in a lab to combine various fluoropolymers, types of fluorine, and they would create a formulation, a liquid bath formulation that would go on that material. And then once that material would be saturated, it would go through an oven And then once it comes out of the oven, the chemical composition becomes a total molecular part of those pants. So that what we do is we change the molecular structure of the wool. And once we get that recipe right, they then go to whoever is going to weave that wool. The wool fabric would come into a facility, and then thousands of yards would be going through the perfect chemical formulation bath, and then it would go through a large oven where all of the chemicals get cross-linked to every single fiber. So imagine every thread of the wool that you would be treating. Imagine every thread is forever coated with a protective, you might say, layer. It's a protective coating. So it's now totally protected. And that coating does not come off of the thread ever. So you have lifelong protection. Nanotex is not a spray-on treatment. It's not a temporary treatment. It's not a treatment that is put on clothing after the clothing is fabricated. It is put on fabric first, and then the fabric goes into production to make whatever it is that the company wants it to be.
So the technology is actually baked in so that the fabrics can be washable and stretchable and wearable and have all the properties that we would expect from fabrics while having this added feature.
Correct. Without changing the hand and without changing the color. And that's really important because we want to keep the fabric drapeable. We don't want to change the color. You know, people would say, oh, we could Scotch guard a fabric or put Teflon on a fabric or something like that. That's true, and those are very valid products. But what we do with Nanotex is we don't have one treatment for everything that we do. We actually create custom blends of formulations for every large program that we do.
So depending on the fabric, the wool, sorry to interrupt you. So depending on what the goals are, basically, for the project.
Correct. As an example, going to launch a new program with cotton. Cotton is a very, very difficult fabric to treat, which is why they've lost so much market share to polyester. Because cotton gets wet when you sweat, cotton stains very easily because it's a natural fiber. And we have worked for about a year and a half to create a special blend of chemicals to be able to apply to that cotton that's going to make that cotton highly, highly resistant to stain. So you're transforming the ability of that cotton to now be able to repel stains where it couldn't before.
Wow.
So it's very tricky what we do. It's much more technical. I mean, people used to put, you know, Scotchgard across the board on everything. Mm-hmm. Well, you can't get away with that anymore. Mm-hmm. So if you're working with nylon, it's going to be a whole different thing than if you're working with cotton or rayon or whatever it is that fashion person wants to use.
So you are basically the mad scientists of fabrics.
We are the mad scientists of fabric as it relates to stain resistance, moisture resistance, odor resistance, sweat, wrinkles, all the gross things that could happen to fabric. We are there as the great fabric protectors. But it's not a simple thing. I don't make a bottle of Nanotex and put it on every single thing I do. By the time it's all said and done, there might be 15 components that go into making a cotton t-shirt, you know, not stain very much.
Right.
I think that the consumer today wants more precision. They certainly expect it of their computers, of their smartphones. They expect the technology to work. We count on it. We count on our technology for so many things. So now when you're adding a component of technology into fashion, it has to work. And it's not a simple thing. So we feel that we can succeed because we don't ever assume that it's simple. We know it's complicated, and we know that we have the scientists to back us up to make sure that the product is created, that it's tested. And the other thing is that when you are making fabrics, and sometimes they have to be woven offshore, maybe they're woven here, and then they're treated. Well, we have to have people on the ground that do quality control and inspection to make sure that whoever is treating a fabric is doing it properly. So we actually have people on the ground that go and monitor the way that the treatment is being applied. So it's really, it's very scientific, it's very labor intensive in terms of tracking it. We've added DNA markers into our chemistry so that we know if the precise formulations that we've specified. So there's a whole lot that goes behind this simple thing called nanotech.
And I want to get back to the DNA markers in a second, but I just want to ask, when you're talking to a Macy's or a Banana Republic and you're sort of thinking about working together, do you position yourself as a technology provider for their business?
Yes, we are a technology provider. And how we sell them is we show them what we do. That is the most effective thing I could do. If I could do a demonstration or have one of your listeners actually take a piece of our fabric and see what it does, spill on it or do whatever, and they see it for themselves, they're sold. And that's really how we sell it. Once we show a customer what it can do, and once we show them how well we deliver, because when you're working with a company like, as an example, Macy's has a travel suit that they're doing under the Inc. brand. Well, we had to work for months to try to get that right. And Macy's has to know that if we said you'll get your first sample in 2 weeks, you got to deliver the first sample in 2 weeks. And if it's not working right, you've got to go to them and say, you know what, we've done it, here's where we are, but guess what, it's not perfected right. We need another week. So it's a process where you can wow them with what you do, but you really have to deliver.
Absolutely.
And you have to deliver on time. And not everybody can implement. And that's what we pride ourselves on, is inventing and then implementing. Because if you don't have the implementation, forget it.
The consistency must be a challenge, which is why you were mentioning you have the quality assurance people on the ground.
Yes. Consistency is really critical, especially if things are being made offshore.
Yeah.
Because you lose control. And the DNA markers gives us a better measure of control.
Yeah, so maybe you could talk a little bit more about those, because I'm not sure I fully understand that aspect of it. Maybe you could explain it to me.
Do you know that there are DNA markers, much like the DNA markers in blood, that they can track? But the DNA marker is so precise that you could put in a production of cotton, let's say, in a bale of cotton, if they put DNA markers and there's a batch from South Carolina and then they put a DNA marker in another crop of cotton that's in Florida, not the two states that you find cotton, but let's say that that was the case.
Mm-hmm.
They could actually tell scientifically if they were given the cotton, they could scientifically track it back to either state.
Wow.
All we need is a piece of the fabric. They take a cutting of the fabric, they analyze the fabric, and we know if it's there or not.
As Nanotechs is putting forward materials to someone like a Banana Republic, you have to be responsible for your supply chain, so that's why you came up with the solution.
Right.
Got it. So, Randy, I want to ask you, are consumers more demanding from their fabrics today than they were 20 years ago? So in other words, why do you think performance is so important when we're talking about textiles today?
I think it got important when we started with exercising. And I think that when we were exercising, people, in order to separate themselves, tried to get a competitive advantage. The competitive advantage was certain stretch. It would be wicking moisture away from your body. It would be something like Gore-Tex saying, you know, you don't need those down feathers anymore. You can use this very thin material that will protect you from the wind and the snow and the ice. It was that we got used to, especially in the world of, I think, this is my theory anyway, of sporting and skiing and swimming, and you know, people started doing bathing suits. You could race faster if you had a certain kind of fabrication, and we started expecting, we started looking for these things because a lot of the exercise wear might have four or five hang tags on it that has all these different things that the garment can do. So now you see that, and now all of a sudden you're doing more leisure wear and you're sort of wanting the same things. And then all of a sudden you're wearing your suit and it stains. The knee is stretching out and things are happening. And you know that you can do better. You know that fabric can do more. You've mm-hmm. learned that. And so it's a natural evolution. It just really is. Banana Republic, they made these wool pants that don't stain very easily. And now they've taken it and they're going into ties. Well, how smart is that? How many men do you know that go out to dinner, they get a stain on their tie, and they might as well throw away the tie? It's just so simple. So, you know, you saw it work on the pants. They sold through those pants quicker than they ever thought that they would because it had a really great benefit, and now they're taking it to ties. Well, it's the same thing. It worked on the pants, now it works on the ties. You go from one step to the next to the next to the next. It's just like we expect much more from our phones. You expect if you get the next generation of your Apple phone, you know that your iPhone is going to take a better picture than your last iPhone. You expect it. So we're getting into things that are just mind-boggling in terms of what people are going to be able to get out of textiles.
Yeah, and something that fascinates me and something we haven't really talked about on the program too much yet is about how fashion tech is creating new opportunities and challenges when it comes to patents in technical textiles. So I'm sure, as you know, you can't really patent a style. It's very difficult in fashion. You can certainly patent a technology. So I was wondering if you could talk a little bit about some of your patents and products.
Well, you know, you don't see a lot of patents on fabrics because in the world of textiles, in the United States for sure, people kept trade secrets, and they really sort of didn't believe in patenting. So when we patented Krypton, we knew that there were stain-resistant fabrics, there were moisture-proof fabrics, there were bacteria-resistant fabrics. There were many of the components of Krypton. And what we did was we bundled those features, and the bundled features that we had were patentable. And then from there, we expanded on the patent to include many other things, and then we patented it globally. We have a recent patent that is for apparel. It's called Wickenblock. And what we've patented now is a way that we can take nylon. It's basically used in football uniforms. We can take a nylon fabric, make that fabric so that the moisture wicks away from the body, and we take the nylon and make it almost impossible to stain. And it was adopted by the NFL, and it's been a great success story, but we believe in patenting. There are many people in the textile industry that are not, they're not apt to do patents. It's just an industry thing. It certainly is an open field for patents. And we believe in IP. All of our trademarks are there in place, you know, all of the patents that we do. But, you know, what we do is we invent ways of treating fabrics. We then patent the property, and then we brand like crazy. And that's another thing that we're doing with Nanotex is we are building the brand up again. It was really not branded the way that it should be. It wasn't fresh. It wasn't exciting. And we have all kinds of new materials, hang tags, labels, everything that we can think of to brand it. We're on social media. And we have thousands of people that come to our website. So people really are interested in the whole area, and they're very enamored with it.
Yeah, especially now that consumers are more interested about the story behind their clothes, right? So they can probably find you that way.
Absolutely.
When we say smart fabrics, a lot of people today think about electronics worn on the body. Does any of your mm-hmm. work include embedded electronics at the moment, or any plans for this in future?
We are working, and we call them e-textiles. We're actually working on a mattress product that has an electric current that we can actually, there's a technology now where you can put a current into the fabric that will monitor the electricity that goes through it, and you can put a battery on it. You could do all kinds of things. But this mattress would monitor whether a patient in a hospital, as an example, is not turning over enough, and that patient might get bed sores. Or, you know, there's all of these things that we're working on. There's a really cool product, a diaper, if you can believe, that you can put on a baby and monitor the baby if they're turning over and just doing all kinds of things. Monitor the baby if the diaper is wet. So we're really playing around with it. We've installed equipment in our plant to really start exploring this world of e-textiles. It's in its infancy, but it's going to explode. There's just no question. There's no question about it.
Absolutely. And speaking about that industry exploding, as you may already be aware, last month the U.S. Defense Department announced it's teaming up with universities and 50 other companies
right.
in a $320 million project to move the U.S. textile industry into the digital age. And I don't know if when you read this story, when you heard about it, if you thought, well, we're already doing that, or if you thought, oh, I got to get involved with that. Where do you stand on that right now?
I don't know. We don't know. We don't know what to do with it. Our head of R&D has looked into it, and I don't have an answer for you. We're certainly independently looking at this, and things that we would develop probably would have application into the government. But we're looking at more things that would be, I would think, residential than government. But I think that it's certainly going to happen. I mean, that $320 million will go, it will take maybe a month for them to spend it, because that's not a lot of money, actually, when you really start getting involved with this stuff and you really start spending the time putting money into the experts, weaving the fabric in a way that it conducts currents and all the things that it needs to do. There's a huge amount of money going into it. But somebody's going to get it, and they're going to get it right. And once you develop this brain, it's almost unlimited.
Yeah, and I mean, there's certainly companies that are experimenting with it. I mean, as I mentioned, I'm from Canada, and Montreal is sort of claiming itself as the capital of smart fabrics in Canada.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, as you know, they've worked with Ralph Lauren to develop the Polo Tech shirt. But it's a very limited audience, and it was a very limited run that they did. So I think you're right to say someone's going to get it, but I'm wondering and I'm looking out for who's going to get it in a way that can scale to lots of different products, because that Polo Tech shirt was for a very, very specific audience.
Right. I don't know who's going to get it. I hope we do. but it's not for lack of trying. But, you know, also Israel has scientists that are unbelievable. And they are so far ahead of anybody in the United States. We are working with several people from Israel now. And I think that they're probably going to take us about 3 years ahead of where we would be if we just started from ground zero here, because they've been doing this and they know it. And there's so much that goes behind this whole world of e-textiles. I mean, the e-textiles, we put them in our research, the e-textiles we put under the category of something that's carrying a current that's going to measure something. The smart fabrics in our research lab are fabrics that are doing things like wicking the moisture away or
being stain,
you know,
resistant.
Things like that. Yeah. That's how we define them.
Yeah, so you distinguish between the high performance, what you call smart fabrics, and then e-textiles. That's really interesting. I didn't know that Israel is ahead of the current in that. So just a couple more questions for you, Randy, and then I'll let you go. In general, what do you think is the future of fashion and fabrics?
The people that we've talked to throughout the country seem to be wanting to buy less stuff but higher quality, and they want things to last. And I think that that's a mantra that carries across both apparel and home furnishings. People want durability. They want to buy something that's going to last a long time. And if something is going to stain, it's not going to last a long time. And, you know, if it has the problem of being wet and sticky when you're sweating, it's not going to be something that you want. So I think people are going to more carefully select what they buy. Mm-hmm. I don't think that they're just going to throw a bunch of stuff in the bag. I think that they're going to think it through. Because
yeah.
They don't want disposable clothing anymore. People are more conscious of not throwing things away, of really buying quality.
Yeah, and I think that we're seeing that in the trend of re-commerce. So people, they want to give their clothes a second life when they do throw them away because they are more conscious of that. But also, if you look at the trends in blogging and in fashion, everything right now is about the capsule wardrobe and about having less and having really good items that you can wear on the plane and then straight into your meeting and then for cocktails out at night. So I think that's very true. So finally, as someone working at the intersection of both fashion and technology, what do you think fashion can learn from tech and vice versa? What do you think technology can learn from fashion?
Technology can certainly learn that if they're going to come up with something, that it's going to have to be beautiful. And it's going to have to be, as an example, I might be able to come up with a technology that would make something very stain resistant, impossible to stain. Let's say I make something that's impossible to stain. Well, if it's stiff and boardy, I might as well forget the whole thing because nobody's going to buy it.
Right.
So I have to learn from fashion that it's got to be aesthetically appealing. It's got to be tactile. Appealing. It's got to be made in a way that the consumer is going to look at what we've made and say, boy, this is beautiful, this is useful, this looks nice, this is going to last long. And so I have to design for their specification. And their specification is always going to be something that has appeal.
Mm-hmm.
And fashion can teach technology what technology needs to invent.
So you're saying fashion can lead the way in the sense of dictating the agenda for tech?
I believe.
Yeah, really interesting. So, Randy, how can people stay in touch with you?
Please follow us we're on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Pinterest, we're on Instagram. Of course, we have our website, nanotech.com. And we'd love to hear from people. And if there's questions, believe me, they'll be answered.
Okay,
because
great.
People have a lot of questions about this.
Yeah, what's the most common question you get?
The most common question is, can I apply it after I have a garment? Truthfully, I have this piece of clothing. What can I do with it now? That's the most common thing. They ask, is it safe? And we tell them it's absolutely safe, that it's not going to be anything harmful to their skin, that this is what's called non-leaching technology. It does not come off of the garment.
Mm-hmm.
They're concerned about that. They're concerned about how long does it last. And we explain to them that it lasts the life of the fabric, and that, you know, that's really cool. And then they want to know where they can get it.
Yeah, but isn't it interesting that they want that retrospective solution where they can just spray it on like a Scotch guard? I think we still have a ways to go in terms of educating ourselves and consumers about how this technology works.
Right.
Because it's not an afterwards solution. Like you said, it's very, very nuanced and it's not one size fits all.
It's not. Nanotech, I believe, because I've seen the competition, I believe we do it better than anyone because we customize it so, so carefully. And so everything that we do is we follow the whole chain of production of the promise. I don't think that consumers are going to not think about how that fabric performs if given a choice. If somebody's going to look at a pair of pants and one pair of pants is going to be stain resistant and the other pair of pants is not going to be stain resistant and there is not a huge price differential, I believe that once somebody realizes that they can have it, they'll buy it. And that's what our research shows. People back in the day were ironing their sheets because there wasn't anything like a wrinkle resistant sheet. That was a major miracle. How cool is that to the average homemaker that you didn't have to iron your sheets anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, that was a revolution.
So it is really changing, and along with it is the expectations from the consumers that are changing. So, Randy, I want to say thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I've really enjoyed your insights, and you seem to me like a veteran in this industry. So it's very, very exciting that you are optimistic for where things are headed, and we hope to stay in touch with you.
We will stay in touch. Thank you so much for calling.
Thank you. That was my conversation with Randy Rubin, CEO of Nanotex. For links to their website as well as images from today's episode, we invite you to visit electricrunway.com. We're also going to be putting up some coverage from our time at Shop Talk in Vegas, so look out for that on our website as well. If you're a regular listener to the podcast, we ask that you please leave us a 5-star rating. It helps others just like you discover content just like this. To stay on top of the fashion tech beat, follow us on Instagram, Snapchat, and Twitter at electric_runway. Tune in next week where we're speaking with someone from the National Research Council of Canada to discuss an exciting new initiative to pioneer the future of fabrics. Thanks for joining us. Until next time, here's looking towards the future. Music from today's episode by Andrew Applepie.